I want to know you more. Glory to God. Come on, God is good.
All the time.
I said, God is good.
All the time.
Hallelujah. I'm so excited, and probably about 6 weeks ago or a couple of months ago, I was talking with Donnie and Janine, and I just felt in my spirit, like on Wednesday nights after the first of the year, which today is Happy New Year, that we were supposed to concentrate on healing. Because I believe that it's God's will to heal you.
Amen.
I said, I believe it's God's will for you to be healed and to be whole. I like the scriptures when it said they came, like a lady came to Jesus and she went away whole.
Amen.
That means complete.
That's right.
That means the issues that she had when she came to Jesus were taken care of. And we're going to see tonight, and I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but we're going to see that Jesus, if he was here tonight, he wouldn't be any different than he was when he walked the streets of Jerusalem and Galilee and everywhere he went. He'd be the exact same. So, you know, like the man who came up to him, Lord, I know that if you're willing, you can heal me. And his response, Jesus' response, I'm willing. I'm willing. And now you receive your healing.
Amen.
So we're going to talk about, and I like that I'm listening to this particular series on healing. And one of the series that I sent to Donnie and Janine, it's healing is God's idea. It's not our idea that we're trying to talk God into. It's His idea. It's His idea. So in other words, it's not something that we have to try to strain to get. It's something that He's already talked to us about. And so what we're going to do is we're going to go in the next few months, who knows how long it will take, but the next few months, and just go through some of the different healings that Jesus performed while He was here on the earth. And in doing so, my goal is to get you and me to walk with Jesus.
Amen.
In the Bible.
Yeah.
In other words, that we're in the story. So I want to place us in these stories so that we can begin to see, you know, and again, if Jesus was here, would He heal me? Yes. Let me say that again. If Jesus was here and He laid His hands on me, would I be healed? Well, there are some qualifications, but I think the majority of the cases, yes. And the reason I said there are some qualifications, because it said in when Jesus went home around the people that He knew, He said there He couldn't do much. And in the Greek, it's kind of like he could heal a few people with minor ailments, but the miracles didn't happen in his hometown because they were too familiar with him. So our unbelief can keep healing from coming to us. Are you with me? But we really want to start talking about putting in there. And so I titled tonight, Healing, Go For It. Healing, Go For It. I'm seeking God for healing. Well, go for it. If you're watching online and maybe, you know, healing has evaded you or you've been struggling, listen, that's what we're about. That's what this is about. That's what Wednesday nights are for. We are going to contend for your healing. We're going to contend for each other's healing. We're going to contend. And watch this. Turn to John chapter 4, but while you're there, I'm trying to introduce this in such a way that I believe that all of us are in the healing ministry.
Amen.
You know, I know there are people who have special anointings for healings, and that's awesome, but we're going to see tonight that all of us are in the healing ministry.
That's right.
And what does that mean? That God has commission me to lay hands on the sick and they'd recover. It's not my job to get anybody to recover. My job is to lay hands on people. I can do that. I can do that. But let's read this story before I get carried away. In John chapter 4, and we're going to start in verse 43, so it'll kind of give the context to where we're going. In John chapter 4 and verse 43, he says, "Now after 2 days he departed from there and he went into Galilee, for Jesus himself testified that a prophet has no honor in his own country. So when he came to Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things that he did in Jerusalem at the feast, for they had also gone to the feast. So Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee, where he had made water into wine, and there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. And when he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and implored him to come down and heal his son, for his son was at the point of death. Then Jesus said unto him, unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe. Then the nobleman said to him, sir, come down before my child dies. Jesus said to him, go your way, your son lives. So the man believed the words of Jesus, spoke to him, and he went on his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him on and told him, saying, your son lives. And he inquired of them the hour that he got better, and they said to him, yesterday, the seventh hour, and the fever left him. And so the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said to him, your son lives. He himself believed, and was his whole household. This again is the second sign Jesus did when he came into Judea in Galilee. Now, we're going to talk this through and look at this, but there's several things that I want to look at. And one of the things it said that the people there of Galilee saw what he did in Jerusalem. And so they were excited about what he did, but they didn't honor him for who he was. So what does that have to do? We're seeking really to understand how we're supposed to operate in healing, but let's not get it twisted. We're not seeking the healer. I mean, the healing. We're seeking the healer.
That's right.
Yeah. We want to keep Jesus honored in everything that we do. Okay? And it's interesting because Jesus just came from Samaria, because he'd come from, Judea. He went through Samaria and then was going into Galilee. But this, and when we think about that, we think about, well, that's not very far. But if you're walking, it's a long ways. In fact, it was a 2-day walk from Samaria to Galilee. Right? Now watch this. What happened in Samaria? Well, first of all, if you look, go way back and you look at Judea, several people had been healed. But in Samaria, this is where he talked to the woman at the well. And they were amazed, and all of this was happening. And yet there were some that were walking with him that were seeing everything that had been done. So there was a culmination of time that came up to when Jesus was coming home. And he was going to talk. And think about this. He was in Cana of Galilee, where the wedding was, where he turned the water into wine. What does that mean? That means that his relatives were there. His family was there. His friends were there. And Jesus even said, a prophet is not without honor in his hometown. And watch this. I think sometimes when we become familiar with somebody in the flesh, we fail to honor the anointing that they carry. We get used to them. We take them for granted. We take the anointing. And you've experienced this like I've experienced this before, where somebody said, man, when I first started coming to that church or seeing this ministry, it was awesome. And I just couldn't wait to get there. And the anointing was so strong. But I've been here for about 2 years. It seems like the anointing's not as strong. Well, it might not be the fact that the anointing has stopped. It could be that you quit honoring the gift of God. Right? And so when we stop appreciating what God's doing, it could be that we are after what God's doing, but not after honoring the one God's doing it through. Or that we're not honoring God in it. Right? So let's look at this again. This is so interesting. We're going to kind of weave in and out of this story, but I want you to we're in John. Just go to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. And we're going to look at verse 12. Because you're in John chapter 14 and verse 12. I said, you're in John chapter 14 and verse 12. Because look at this. Jesus said, and think about this. Think about the reality of this. Who he's talking to right here in John chapter 14 is the disciples, those who'd been with him, that had walked with him, that saw everything that he had done. They saw him heal people. They saw him get demons delivered. They saw him give incredible answers to learned men, and these learned men tried to come to him and trap him, and they walked away shaking their heads, and they were watching all this. They were experiencing everything that Jesus did. So tonight, I want us to put us in that room. We've been amazed at what God has done in our lives. We've been amazed at the transformation that he's done in us. But listen to this, because he's in a whole dialogue about how he's going away and he's going to go to the cross and things are going to be better for them. But listen to what he says in verse 14, chapter 14, verse 12, I'm sorry. He said, most assuredly, I say to you that he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father. Yeah. He said, listen, most assuredly, and he's saying that to you tonight, to you tonight, most assuredly, without a doubt, without any reservation, what I'm about to say to you is true. He who believes in me. Anybody in the room believe in him? Anybody in the room believe that he said this and he meant this? Or did he just say it so it'd be something nice to say, you know, and something for 2,000 years we could look at and go, well, isn't that something? That's flowery. That's pretty cool. No. He said this. He meant this. The works that I do. Just begin to think of the works that he did.
Yeah.
He didn't qualify. He didn't say, well, you know, a few are going to be able to do it. Some may not.
Yeah.
He said, the works that I do, you will do also. So when we're going through these healing stories, I want you to not think about, well, listen, here's what's going to happen. We're going to go through these stories. The anointing's going to come and Pastor or Janine or Donnie or somebody else is going to lay hands on people and we're going to see miracles. That's going to happen.
Amen.
But I want you to see you in it too. I want you to see yourself in it. Why? Because the miracles that are going to happen aren't just going to happen in this room.
That's right.
What I'm saying is you're going to be at a grocery store and the Spirit of God is going to come on you because somebody's in front of you that's in pain. You say, listen, I notice that you're in pain. Can I pray for you? And laying hands on them doesn't mean that you put your hand on their head and start praying in tongues, unless God tells you to, at the top of your voice. It just means, can I hold your hand? Can I touch your shoulder?
Amen.
And watch this. We're going to see it in a minute. But in Jesus' command to the people, to his disciples in Mark chapter 16, he didn't say, pray for the sick. He said, lay hands on the sick and they'd recover. So sometimes it's okay to pray, and the prayer of faith is mentioned in James and other places, but sometimes all that we need to do is say, be healed.
Amen.
Be healed in Jesus' name. And quit worrying about whether they get it or not. Because that's not your job. Your job is to do what Jesus told you to do. It's His job. It's His idea. So when we come and we're going to have people coming, we're going to pray for one another. And I have an expectation that God's going to use whoever will believe. Right? And I think we ought to be discriminate about people we let pray for us. Hey, do you believe this is going to happen? Well, you know, if it's God's will, don't pray for me.
That's okay.
Right? Don't pray for me. Because I know that God's will and His word are one. And if He said it, He'll do it. If He spoke it, He'll bring it to pass. And so therefore, I want us to build our faith not only in God's will to heal, but God's will to use us to bring healing to the world. Now go back to John chapter 4. John chapter 4, because I want you to see something here. And let's look again. Jesus in verse 48 said, Jesus said to him, and this says to him talking about the nobleman, but he was really talking to everybody that was there. But listen to what he says. Unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe. Now you could look at that and go, Jesus was bawling them out. And there could be a little bit of truth to that. But here's what I'm saying is that God says, if people need signs and wonders to believe, I'll provide them. If people need signs and wonders, I'll provide them. Now watch this. Have you ever thought about this? Signs and wonders. A sign is a display of God's power working in people supernaturally. But a wonder is you going, how did that happen? Or, wow. Or, are you kidding me? I've had a few of those moments where God has worked in us and it's just like, wow. We've had just one of those happen, and we'll talk about it more on Sunday. But, you know, we've been believing God, and all year, Donnie and I have been believing God that by January 1st, actually December 31st, that our operating budget, which was $22,000 in the hole, in other words, we were borrowing from different accounts to keep running, would be in the black. And we did the books yesterday to end the, you know, the year, and we have $1,000+ in our operating budget today. See, that's God, and God did that. I mean, He used people, generosity is awesome, but that is a sign that when you believe God, He will do a wonder, and you can go, woo, glory to God. God did that. We need to start bragging on what God is able to do, right? I want to just tell you this. This is awesome. Josh is back there, and here's his story for me. He came, and he said to me, and I'm going to not get it exactly right, but he said to me, we were back there, he said, I can tell you're ready for tonight. I said, what do you mean? I'm usually always ready when I'm ready to preach. He said, I know, but you're ready for tonight. I said, what do you know? He said, because I've had a headache for 3 or 4 days, but the minute I got in my car, your car was gone.
Praise the Lord.
A sign and a wonder, right? It was confirmation of what God wants to do. Watch this. Come on, this is so good. Now, I want to get back into this story and put us in there. Let's put us in this story again and go again to verse 46. And so Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee, where he had made water into wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. And when he heard that Jesus had come to Judea of Galilee, he went and implored him to come down and heal his son, for his son was at the point of death. Now, Capernaum was about 25 miles from Cana. And Capernaum is at sea level, and Cana's up the hill. Yeah, it's up on top of what they call mountains. To us, they're just little hills. But it was a 25-mile hike up. But this nobleman, and a nobleman meant that he was one who was familiar with the court. He had access to go into the governmental offices, and he was at home with nobility. It means he was a big shot. He was a big deal. But the desperation of his son drove him to do whatever he needed to do to get an answer for his son, because outside of a miracle, there was nothing that could be done for his son. So what did he do? He heard Jesus was in the next town, or the town that was 25 miles away. He got on his horse or his donkey or whatever he did, and man, he was off to the races to get to Jesus. So here's a nobleman, and something about, somebody who is of nobility, they dress different. They walk different. You know, their clothes, you know, we might be wearing, you know, the Walmart specials or whatever. Nothing wrong with that. Walmart specials or the Costco specials. But they were, you know, the Nordstrom and the, you know, the Gucci and all of that kind of thing. This, he's coming to Jesus in Jesus' hometown. And he was not necessarily a Jew, but he was somebody who needed Jesus to do something. Sometimes it takes us to get to the place of desperation before we'll seek out who Jesus really is. Right? And so this nobleman's coming to him, and he said, listen, my son, I need you to come down with me to my son. In other words, I need you to get on the back of my horse or another horse or donkey or whatever, and we're going to trek down this hill to go to my son, because my son needs to be healed. I need my son to be with him. And think about this too. In that day, it doesn't say this, but I'm kind of imagining that was his firstborn son. That was the son of his inheritance. That was a big deal. And it doesn't say whether he had more sons or not, but this was somebody that was going to pass on the family name. He was begging Jesus to come. And then Jesus said, listen, to everyone around him, unless you people see signs and wonders, by no means you will believe. But watch this. This is really cool. Because watch what the nobleman then says to him. He says to him, the nobleman said to him, sir, come down before my child dies. In other words, I heard what you just said, but that doesn't deter the mission that I'm on. I'm not concerned about what other people do. I'm not concerned about what other people believe. I'm not concerned about any of that. This is me and my son, and you're the answer, and I need you to come down. And then Jesus said to him, watch this, because it's interesting. Jesus said to him, go your way. I don't know about you, but if he'd have stopped right there, I would have been pretty disappointed. Yeah. Who is this Jesus, a carpenter's son, telling a nobleman, go your way? That's not what the nobleman asked. The nobleman asked him to go with him. Jesus said, go your way. In other words, I'm not coming. But he said to him, go your way, your son lives. So watch this next part, because this is important to us. So the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him, and he went his way. The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him. We need to get ourselves in the Word, and when Jesus is giving us a promise out of His Word, we need to believe the Word that Jesus is speaking. How do we know that He absolutely believed that? Because He went His way. Right? He went. Jesus told him to go your way. When Jesus said the Word, He went His way. Now, if he didn't believe that, he just continued to beg Jesus. He'd have continued, no, come on, Jesus, I need you to come to the house. I need you to come to the house. I need you to bring your healing with you. Sometimes we want Jesus to operate the way we want him to operate when all we need to do is take him at his word. And say, if they, you said it, Lord, that's all I need. You said to get on my way, I'm on my way. If you said to believe that I receive, I'm believing that I receive. Right? I can imagine, now watch this, it says that as he was going down, what does that mean? He was on the top of the hill, he was headed back home down the hill. Just imagine this, he's on his way, Jesus had given him the word, but don't you know that in the back of his mind, but what if he didn't get healed? I have no evidence that my son is healed. And the enemies go, you didn't get nothing. Haven't we ever had the Lord tell you that? Yeah, you're not saved. The way you act, the way you did what you did yesterday, God doesn't love you anymore. You know, that type of thing. But this man kept it in his heart and was healed. But watch this. Then as he's going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, your son lives. And watch this, because this is so cool. He said to him, to his servants, what was the hour when he got better? And they said, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. And he was just connecting the dots. He was going, I know he's living. I know he lives. Because I heard the word. And I received the word. And so I had my answer before I saw the evidence of my answer, because I heard the man say. I heard Jesus say. We have to get to the point where we hear in our hearts what Jesus says, no matter what the circumstances are, no matter whether we see it, we feel it, you know, or the evidence is physically there. We have to know, I got it. I've got it. I've got it because he said it. Amen. Yeah. I don't need to have the evidence. I don't need the doctors to tell me. I don't need, you know, my brothers or my sisters to tell me. I know I've got it. Yeah. I know I've got it. That's so good. Watch this. For the Father, he knew that it was the same hour which Jesus said to him, your son lives. And he said to himself and believed, and his whole household. I believe, and this is the deal, I've been praying about this, and I just believe that we may not win our generation with our words. They need to see God in action. And it's our job to seek God so that we hear go. And when we hear go, do what he tells us to do. And part of that is Wednesday night. Amen. Part of that for us, for this church, for right now in this season, healing classes on Wednesday night are part of that. So what does that mean? That means that you're with somebody and they telling you what they're going through, and you say, well, listen, you know, that cancer diagnosis is devastating, and I'm sorry that you had that, but I just want to invite you. Come and sit under the anointing on Wednesday night. And come, don't just come once, but come often to hear the Word of God. You know, the Bible says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And I believe that the reason that is because you can hear something with your physical ears, but not hear it in your heart. See, because the enemy comes immediately to steal the Word. But once you know that you know that you know that you know, this man knew that he knew that he knew because he went on his way. And we have to be of the same mind and the same heart. So it's like, okay, I'm coming. I'm going to soak. I'm going to continue to soak. I'm going to continue to soak. And I understand that there are some people who are in physical conditions that they can't make it out of the house, but they can turn on the TV, right? They can turn on the computer. They can, and I would, if I was you, I would just soak in this. But if you can, if it's possible, I think you ought to make a weekly appointment with Jesus to be in this room. Just like you would a doctor. Come on, just like you would. Well, you wouldn't skip out on a doctor's appointment because you didn't feel good. That'd be kind of stupid, wouldn't it? Hello? So what I'm saying is we're going to meet with Jesus, the healer, in this room. Right? But we're going to come to Him in faith. All right, now I want you to turn to Mark chapter 16. So we are the ones who are going to do the same work that Jesus did. You know, Jesus said something that's just remarkable to me. He said, I only do the things that my Father tells me to do. In other words, He was hearing from the Spirit of God to tell this nobleman to go your way, your son lives. Because he was acting on earth as a man filled with the Holy Spirit. Was he God? Absolutely. But he didn't act as God while he was here. Colossians talks all about that. He emptied himself. So he was acting as a man who was fully, completely filled with the Spirit of God. So those of us who, and you in the room, come on, you're part of the team now. So we need to come prayed up. What does that mean? That means we need to be meditating on the Word. And like this story of the nobleman, I would just suggest that you meditate on this all week. You read it over and over again. Read it in different translations. Just continue to read it. And with the thought in mind that Jesus said, even these works, the very things that I've done, you will do. And then the second thing is by meditating in the Word. That's number one. But the second thing is we need to be praying in the Holy Ghost a lot more than we are. In other words, on your way to church, pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. You know, I listen to the radio, but sometimes you need to shut things off and just pray in the Holy Ghost. Why? Because I believe praying in the Holy Ghost makes you more sensitive to hearing what the Spirit of God is saying. Are you with me? So again, this is a twofold thing. And the reason Janine normally would be up here tonight, but I needed to introduce this because I needed to give us the pattern for what we're going for. I need your hands on deck. I need your hands ready to lay hands on somebody. I need you ready to be listening to what the Spirit of God is saying. See, here's what I'm believing. I'm believing for the manifestation of the Spirit to come into this room. And it's going to come into this room through you and me. And so when we're praying in the Spirit at home, or maybe the night before, we'll wake up at 3 a.m, we just begin to pray in the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Spirit will show you somebody that comes into the room that you've never seen before, but you already know what's wrong with them because the Holy Spirit has given you a word of knowledge for them. Amen. See, this is the type of thing that I'm anticipating, manifestations of the Spirit happening through us on Wednesday night. Come on. Come on. Here's the deal. I've heard and read books and read stories and I know Janine can talk about what her mom has seen and what her grandmother saw and what, you know, all these famous people, Smith Wigglesworth saw, John G. Lake saw, and all those. I'm wonderful. Those testimonies are great. But I want now. It wasn't John G. Lake. It wasn't Grandma. It wasn't, you know, Smith Wigglesworth. It wasn't anybody. It was the Holy Spirit through them. And we have the same Holy Spirit. And I am convinced that the world is hungry for Jesus and they just don't know it. But if we can be used of God to begin to demonstrate who He is and what He does, glory to God, we're going to see some miraculous things happen. Okay, quickly, Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. I'm just going to read it from the back. He said to them, and he was talking about his disciples. This is right before he went up. He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Amen. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Amen. Watch this. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Is that true? Is that still valid today? Right? Do we still believe that you absolutely need to have Jesus as your Savior to make it to heaven? Do we still believe that anybody outside of the resurrected power of Jesus can come to Christ, can come to heaven? No. No man can come to the Father but by Jesus. Right? We know that. So we need people who don't know Him, maybe are even in a backslidden condition, to experience something to turn them around. It was a word of knowledge for me through a man that was, you know, telling me what God said this, God said that, and God gave him words of knowledge as I was asking God about it, that was the sign that made me wonder. And it drew me to Him. So somebody said this, a pastor years ago said that signs and wonders and healings are nothing more than the dinner bell for the lost. We want to get people into the kingdom of heaven. These signs will follow those who believe. In My name, they will cast out demons. Who's that? That's me. That's me, because I believe. They will speak with new tongues. Check. They will take up serpents. Now, I'm not necessarily going to handle snakes. But what I believe this is saying, what this is saying is that it doesn't matter what comes at me. God will protect me. If they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. Watch this. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Does it say they might? It says they will. I am believing God to help us to begin to really believe this. That our expectations, which we talked about last Sunday, our expectations will be such that I can't wait to get to church. I can't wait because God showed me in a dream last night that there was somebody coming that had four-stage colon cancer and we were going to lay hands on them and they were going to be totally healed. Amen. That the blind eyes are going to be opened. Amen. The deaf ears will hear. Amen. Right. Now watch this. Well, I'll get into that another time. But you have to watch what's coming out of your mouth concerning Wednesday night. Amen. I can't have you speaking one thing one way and then go home and say something different. Amen. I need us to be believing. Amen. Believing, believing, believing. In Exodus chapter 15 and verse 26, it says this. And He was talking to the people of Israel. This is under the old covenant. He said, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in His sight, give ear to His commands and keep all His statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, as it's quoted in Hebrews Jesus is the same yesterday, today, forever. He was the same back in Exodus. He's the same today. What am I saying? I'm saying he's still the God that heals. But watch this. He's still the same God that heals you. That heals you. It talks in Psalm 105, it talks about them coming out of Egypt, and there was over 3 million people, you understand? A lot of people, but there was not one feeble among them. Because they were under covenant with God. You're under covenant with God. In fact, your covenant with God is better than their covenant with God. I heard one man say this, and I thought it was great. He said, listen, if he was the God that healed under the old covenant, and ours is new, is better, then that can't change. But if it did change, then we better go back to the old. No, we're not going back to the old because the new is better. Why? Because Jesus is the one that fulfilled all the promises. Are you with me? Are you getting what I'm saying tonight? Are you excited about what's coming? Right? And what's here tonight? The healing power of God is in the room. So awesome. The Bible says that in Hebrews chapter 11, it says that we must believe that God is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Wednesday night are going to be about seeking the healer for signs and wonders so that non-believers can see Jesus in this room. And he's not going to see Jesus through necessarily just the people that are on the platform speaking. I have an expectation that God is going to use each one of us. I know several in the room have experienced the power of God. And through the years, should I go here? I'm going to. Through the years, I've watched people experience the power of God and then run from it. I'm talking about Christians. This one fellow that I'm thinking about, he would come up and stand behind people as I was praying for them, and he felt the power of God. He felt the God going through them because he could feel it on the back side of it. But he doesn't come up anymore. Why? I don't know. But for us that are hungry, we want more of that. Not so that you can go, oh boy, that pastor boy, he can really pray for people. That's not the point. The point is I want to be one of those who Jesus uses to do the same works that he did, so that through signs and wonders, people will believe. Come on. Come on. That's where we're at. That's what we're going for. No, I wasn't going to go here, but let's go to Mark chapter 11. Because everything that we're talking about tonight, we're talking about believing. We're talking about faith. Faith. Believing God for who he is. Believing that he's the same yesterday and forever. In Mark 11:22, it says, so Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. I want you to come on Wednesday nights having faith in God. Having faith in God. He's the healer. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Here's what I want you to be saying. I want you to be saying that Wednesday nights are a place where the manifestations of healing are happening. Yeah. Yeah. Not, well, we haven't seen anything yet. I don't know. Maybe so, maybe not so. Quit it. Let me just remind you of an experience that we had in this church not many years ago. Well, it's been a few years ago now. But Barb, who was going through cancer, I know you kind of remember that. She was going through cancer, and her insurance wasn't going to cover something, and they needed like $13,000 for the place where she needed to get the treatment, would start the treatment. They needed that in an account. And they needed it right now. Well, you know, we were, again, not doing very well financially. We didn't have it in the church at all. But I went to this scripture and I said, listen, we are going to believe God that by Tuesday we're going to have that money for her to be able to go. That was way beyond. But I said it this way, and I don't speak like this very often. But if you don't believe that, I want you to keep your mouth shut. I don't want you to be talking against what we're believing for. Why? Because if you'll say unto your mountain, be thou removed and cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in your heart, but you'll believe that those things which you say shall come to pass, you shall have whatsoever you sayeth. Therefore, when you pray, whatsoever things you desire, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Creating an atmosphere. God did a miracle. And by the end of, by 2 o'clock that afternoon, we had all the money we needed to send Barb. Yeah. Yeah. Right. That same principle happened with the fund, operations fund. Yeah. We're believing God. But for this night, and I'll close with this. For this night, we're going to start believing that we're going to lay hands on the sick and they're going to recover according to what Jesus told us to do. My hands are available. My heart is available. And yours is also. Come on. Did you get anything tonight? Are you excited like I am? Because we're going to start documenting and seeing why. Because when we watch the blind see, when we watch the deaf hear, we can go from here and say, listen, come on Wednesday night. Last Wednesday, we prayed for somebody whose leg grew out 3 inches. Yeah. Last, 2 weeks ago, there was somebody who was walking with a limp, but they're not anymore.
Yeah,
right? And we've seen these things already in our past. We've seen God do these things.
Yeah.
He's getting ready to do them again because we're believing God for it. Amen. If you're online and you can't make it here, let somebody know so that we can specifically be praying for you, because God knows no difference in the spirit. Watch, even in the story that we read tonight, Jesus spoke to the man, but the son was healed 25 miles away. So there's no distance in the spirit. So we're going to be standing with you and we're going to believe that you're going to get healed, but you're not going to stay home once you've been healed. You're going to come so that you can pray for others and you can testify of what God has done. But let me pray for you right now. We'll just close with this. Father, I thank you for all of those who are watching online. Jesus, you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I speak your word over those who are suffering in their bodies. In Jesus' name, I proclaim the healer is coming into your room right now. Right now, I rebuke sickness, disease. I rebuke the spirit of death and despondency right now. In Jesus' name, you get out of that room, and I just proclaim the peace of God over your heart and mind. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you. Thank you for watching. Amen.